College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
The Tampa Bay Rays, they're defunct.
They don't exist anymore?
They don't exist anymore. I just decided today. We should make a call and let them know, but I just decided they're out.
I would rather watch the painting guy. Who's the painting guy?
Bob Ross.
I'd rather watch Bob Ross than watch my favorite baseball team play in Tampa.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
What a matchup. It is bracket season. What a matchup. Your favorite team playing a game in Tampa or Bob Ross painting a lake and a mountain?
Give me the lake all day long.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Bulldog fumbling with the remote. I think the word is fumbling here.
Shut up. I got it.
What did you do?
I just needed to flip the guide back to the all-channel guide because I was looking for TNT because, Mike, the Club World Cup is on.
What's that?
It's a soccer tournament that I've not watched one second of.
So it's teams, not countries.
Right.
But it's a World Cup.
Right. Club World Cup. So, yeah. Chelsea is playing Feyenoord? All reasonably close. Fluminense?
I just saw an ad for that. The allergies lately have been getting to me, so I was looking at some Fluminense.
Is that the little red pill with the big story to tell?
That's Fluminense.
Is that what that is?
Fluminense is like mayonnaise with a little flu. You don't want it.
No, I happen to see what's happening on my desktop Twitter feed, and it said this Fluminense team versus Chelsea. I thought, Fluminense, like, that must be this World Cup, Club World Cup thing.
Is this the Bills playing Hamilton like the guy called up about last week?
Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea how competitive it's been. I'm not even real sure how far. We must be pretty far into the competition because I feel like it's been going on for a while.
Let's hope.
I feel like I first started. The only news I've seen about it are pictures of three-quarter empty stadiums.
Oh, really?
Where the games are being played.
Where are they being played?
Around the United States.
Oh, really?
Charlotte, okay. Miami, New York. Many of the sites that are going to host the actual World Cup.
Is it a test run?
The World, yeah, I maybe a
the
little
World
bit.
Cup Cup.
The World Cup.
The Cup. World
the,
Cup.
The real World Cup.
Yeah.
Next year. So I guess this is some sort of a dry run. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like it's been a big hit.
What is the calendar for soccer? Like the Premier League starts in August and ends in April or May. It's
yeah.
pretty long.
Yep.
Then there should be a break, you know?
Yeah.
But some of these English teams came to the U.S. to play friendlies, and now others are in the Club World Cup,
right?
As you call it, it's called.
I saw a story today on my Twitter feed that a team from La Liga that's still, I can't remember if it was, it's not in Barcelona, maybe it was Madrid. I don't know, some big name team that's still alive in this thing is already asking the league to push back the start of their regular season.
Yes.
Because they haven't had enough of a break.
Yes.
So, like, that's out there.
Hey, yesterday, and your calls are welcome, 803-0550. What have we done today, actually? Oh, some fourth down discussion. I got it. Let me, before I go to the next thing, read you a tweet that we got about this. And I think this might be right. I can certainly understand someone saying it. Greg writes, the Bills do great on third and fourth down decisions, but they still lack that second and short decision making where they seem happy to just pick up the first down instead of leveraging the two, quote, free downs to be aggressive. I think that's probably correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've had that frustration. Second and, see, we could do another whole conversation just on this. I don't have data to tell you what the Bills do in this, but just in general, absolutely right. How is second and two not the playground? I mean, eight yards I used to say nine. It's still at least nine yards on first down is the best play in football. Getting nine is better than getting 10. Second and one is better than first and 10. Second and one, anything's possible here. First and 10, I've got pressure. I've got some pressure to not get behind the sticks, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to tackle for a loss. I don't want a sack. I don't want a penalty. If I can get you to second and one, I watch games and sometimes think the players go down on purpose short of the first down. I've seen it. I don't know if they do it, but it looks like they do it. And that would include, you know, Bills players. So get me to second and one. Then it's anything goes. And maybe the Bills, I don't know. Some teams would be more reluctant than others to take advantage of that. It's the bad teams who should do it the most. It's the bad teams that can't score. It's the Bears who averaged 10 yards on their first drive of games last year.
Yeah, I would love to see the numbers, the data on that. It does feel to me, and this can get you in trouble, it does feel to me like the Bills, despite their mostly, I think the person tweeting you or us, I haven't seen it myself, I think my instinct is that that's closer to right than it is wrong. Like that the Bills are probably below mid in the league as far as aggressiveness, really passing, right? Maybe even big air yard, like to 10 yards or more air yard pass attempts on second and one. But I don't know it, but watching the games like we do, I'm home on a lot of Sundays, but even the few games I was in here with you for this year, it comes up. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of connecting that, but I wouldn't want to say it, you know, loudly and proudly without knowing it. But my perception is that they're not sharp in that area, taking advantage of what they've achieved by being in second and one.
Yeah. Well, I don't know either.
I wonder if it's more like I posited while we were talking in the first hour about the fourth and two leading to ultimately a more conservative style of playing, more conservative play calling, because you're confident you've got the four downs and you're going to be able to use your RoboCop quarterback to get you a yard or two if it comes to that. So why take chances, right? Only three things can happen and two of them are bad if I throw it. Like that kind of mentality could be sort of seeping back in. And I don't know if that plays a part in this perception that I'm not even 100% sure is right, but it feels like the Bills aren't great at that.
I don't know any different, but I would just say this is another one where teams could do better. I think teams could do better wanting to get to second and short versus first and 10. Because that doesn't sound right, does it? That's almost like nails on the chalkboard. Why is 9 yards better than 10? Why is 8 yards better than 10? Why would that be? I think it's the math. I think then in a sport where being unpredictable is like the most valuable commodity, now I've got you. And I would want to, you know, try to abuse that. And again, I'll say I want to say the bad teams should do it more because they need the edge. They don't have the talent or the wherewithal in the first place to beat you more straight up. So they could use the edge. But yeah, I think I like it. You know, second and short should be an aggressive play call. And what's short? Four. I mean, I think, what if I'm in third and four? I think I'm fine.
Well, yeah, but what, am I going to run it twice? Probably not, right? I'm going to throw it on third and four, and if the pass is incomplete, now I'm in fourth and four, and I'm punting.
Yeah, it's more the thinking that I'm going to get some of the four on third down.
Right.
But an incomplete pass would, you know, preclude that. You're right about that. Just getting us ready.
Right.
The station says things like, we're getting you ready for training camp.
And that's how you end up calling more run plays than pass plays. Like, if your mindset is, I can get it if I just run it, then, you know, I think in this meeting that I mentioned earlier that I'm sure takes place all around the league, someone says, well, if I'm going to get it running, then why am I passing? Shouldn't I just
take it?
Shouldn't I just be running? I'm fine over here. Do keep the clock moving, right? Nothing bad. I'm not going to get sacked. I mean, I could get tackled for a loss, I suppose. Somebody could make a play. But, you know, my left tackle's not going to get beat and cost me 8 yards in a strip sack or something if I run it. So I'm just going to run it. That seems safe. Man, I wonder if we'll get, like, some more evidence that, like, that is starting to happen. Maybe it's still years out that it will, you know, trickle in to the point where you can notice it.
Where do you think the Bills ranked last year in yards per carry?
Yards per carry? Mid. I'm going to say mid. I mean, they ran it great, but they ran it a lot.
So, 11th.
11th. It's not quite mid. But it's not top 10.
It's not top 10. It's top 11.
It's top 11.
They were ninth in attempts. 4.5 yards per carry. Five even was fourth. 5.8 was Baltimore. They were first. Tampa, Arizona were tied for second. Washington, 5.0. Philadelphia, not surprising. Detroit, not surprising. Green Bay, okay. Indianapolis, Taylor, San Francisco, sure. Doesn't matter whether McCaffrey's healthy or not. They eat on the ground. Then Carolina, Atlanta, and Buffalo, 4.5. Your Falcons.
My Falcons.
Well, how does this conversation not get to Cook's value? I mean, you can always say, and we do, replace them and you're the same. Or mostly the same.
And
like, that's what we end up at. Not everybody does.
Right. But I definitely do. And so I don't know that any of this really... Well, should it change things? Like, I don't feel like I want it to. But that doesn't have to be right. Like, this could be a way. I mean, the next step of, you know... I can get first downs running. Why don't I run more because of this fourth down stuff? Could be like then the running back value starts to swing back up. But I don't know, man. Like the team that we talk about, you know, mostly here has a quarterback that is a cheat code for those plays. And that's the more valuable commodity than the running back. Like I think I could do pretty much what I did on the ground last year with Ray Davis doing it. I think. But if I have Mitch Trubisky instead of Josh Allen, like the whole thing is derailed. I'm not going for it on fourth and two. I don't have a 6'5", 250 moose to get it for me.
That's an interesting thought experiment. There are a lot of interesting thought experiments that are predicated on an Allen absence. But they're not so much fun to think about.
No.
But you know, yesterday's was, would you take a Super Bowl if it meant he wasn't on the team anymore? After we got right away from that. And then this one. So I think I'd have to say different. Because my fourth down campaign all those years during the drought was more about the fact that the Bills weren't good. It's the last point about the Bears. Like, they're the team that should want to get you to second and one and then blow your minds. It's more advantageous to the bad teams to do that. In the drought years, I mean, the Bills just couldn't be bothered to go for it more often. And I think if I have Trubisky and not Allen, then I'm going to want to do it more often, not less. But maybe my success rate shouldn't be as good. I mean, in any context, when I'm switching from Allen to Trubisky, success rate at everything should go down.
There should be a dip, yeah.
But I think it would still beat punting. I don't know. It's pretty hypothetical, or is it?
Yeah.
It's one play away. Well, let's not worry about it.
Yeah, I don't want to stand here for much longer.
It will be tomorrow's "What if Josh Allen is injured?" discussion topic.
No, right? Yeah, the next thing that came to mind, I don't want to even
save it.
Spit out. Yeah, I just don't want to get there.
When you look at, as I'm doing right now, last year's team offense stats, I mean, the Bills, okay, so 4.5 yards per carry is 11th or 12th, you know, fine. Attempts, what do we say? They were 9th. Passing yards, right? Allen wins the MVP, but 9th. Passing touchdowns, seventh, you know, good,
mm-hmm.
not great. Fumbles lost, two.
But still incredible. That is the biggest issue is too strong, but it...
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's an issue. It's the biggest raise your hand when Brandon Bean is yelling at the guys in the morning about 30 points a game and, you know, like, what, you know, look at what we did. Like, you know, how can you say? I can understand last year we didn't have Diggs anymore. We need to replace him, but we didn't. And look at what we did. The turnover good fortune is something I really wonder about. You know, it's rarely bankable. So I'd say everything about it is luck, but come on. I mean, the ball's on the ground how many times, and I lost two of them. Like, there's just some good fortune in that. And I don't know. I mean, if that's like a normal year, and you lose, I don't know, six or eight fumbles.
League average is 8.5 last year.
So you're not committing a third of the league average in fumbles lost. You're more like the league average. Like, what does that do to everything? The whole operation, you know? Am I giving up more points? Am I behind more often? Like, what effect does it have? It has to have some. And, you know, it's not like every turnover happens where I get a walk-in touchdown off it or something. But sure, there's your share of short fields that you can capitalize on. And if you just lose, again, like a handful of those, a half a dozen of those, you know, how potent is my offense? How good is it? How explosive is it? How dangerous is it? You know, does that sort of level everything off to the point where you're like, oh, I guess they really did need a guy that can get open more than we thought they did last year?
Mm-hmm.
Because don't forget, like, for all their talk about it, last year they went and got what they thought was going to be a number one wide receiver at the trade deadline. They did that. They felt they needed that. And I guess they feel like Palmer is that this year, even though he's never been that guy. Hopefully he's as good or better than Amari Cooper was, because Cooper was kind of a ghost of who he'd been in his career up to that point. But nonetheless, like, the turnover point within the bragging and the brashness about how good the offense was, according to the guy who built it, is the one piece that I think is just, yeah, I don't think you can't get a loan for that. Like, you just, that's not something you can count on.
Yards per play. And the Bills had average six yards per play. That's just intuitively, that's really good. 6 yards per play. And 8 turnovers. How did they ever lose? Kansas City, that was 6th in the league, 6 yards per play. Baltimore, 6.8, by far the best. Only 11 turnovers. How did they ever lose? They had turnovers in the playoff game. That's how they lost the playoff game.
Yep.
Detroit, 6.2. Tampa, 6.2. San Francisco, 6.2. Green Bay, 6.1. Kansas City, 5.1, 21st. Yards per play. Worst in the league? You guessed it. Fluvenays. Wait, no. Chicago Bears. We found Fluvenays. Is that even it?
No, I screwed it up. It's Fluminense, I think. It's N-S-E at the end.
Fluminescence. Yeah. I think I like that.
All right. Go with that. Go with that. I don't know. I'm fine. Yeah, these are club teams. I mean, do they have to be named after towns or regions? I mean, I don't really know. Usually, that's how they're done. But
Fluminescence could be a fantasy team.
Yeah.
You got to be getting ready for your draft. It's July. You've got the magazine yet? Do we still get a magazine?
If it comes here, then I'll have a magazine.
If it if it arrives on this table,
yes,
you will have it. You check your mailbox, though. You might get it in your mailbox.
I don't know. In the control room?
Yeah. Don't you go in there?
I keep my headphones in there every day. So, yeah. So, I guess that is where I would get mail, but that never happens.
Hmm. I bet you get one. You're on the list.
These magazines just show up in here. I never get them in my mailbox. They're left out, like, in our spots. I think when they come, the boss gets them and like, oh, the magazines are here.
Hold and on.
Them
at our immediately thinks of you.
Yes.
The fantasy gotta have the magazine fantasy is heading. Magazine. Get it to Bulldog pronto. Adam, your buddy Adam Krautwurst wrote for one of those magazines this year.
Did he?
Yeah. Yes, he did. You can read his thoughts. I don't remember the name of the magazine, but he did.
What one am I
probably 100 of them.
Am I Roto World, Roto Wire?
Roto Wire.
We get. Yeah, okay.
They like us. We like them.
Yeah. I like the summer reading opportunity it presents when I would like put that in with my stuff, take it to the cottage, and like there, you know, it's just, you know, sitting on the porch, leafing through the magazine, reading about
fantasy
these teams.
Football.
Yep,
rankings. You know, that is a sort of a gentle pleasure, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
The preseason magazine.
Because you
it
know.
Even have to be, doesn't even have to be fantasy.
You know.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, or even if it is, it's still informative enough. I mean, you can make that point all you want, and I'll laugh at you sometimes, but it's definitely true. So, yeah, and what I won't do if I don't get the magazine is go find that content anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will not, if I get the magazine, I will read the Bills chapter, and I'll look at some other teams that are on the Bills schedule, and just sort of, you know, banking knowledge. And where did I read something, I can't remember, and it'll probably be this. Again, if we get the magazine. If we don't, I will not do any of that. Like, look, I won't go looking for that content specific to fantasy. I mean, I'll read about the teams, you know, Bill Barnwell and whomever at ESPN and like lots of other places. Well, there's a lot of good content out there. But specific to fantasy, I need the magazine. Otherwise, I'm not looking at rankings. I'm going to roll into the draft in September, whatever date we're having it, and let the app do it.
That'll be the Tuesday or Wednesday before opening night.
Right.
Is when we have that draft. So you still have some time.
Yes. I don't feel like magazine season has come and gone. Like I think we're in magazine season.
I think we are. I think we've arrived.
That content should be arriving at any point here.
Preseason football preview magazine season is definitely here. By the way, I do consider it a personal attack that you did not mention ADP chasing as some of what the fantasy football content you consume is. I mean, I know you're watching that. That we have the numbers to prove it. Yes, we know who everyone is watching it. I was not on today.
I'm not even sure I watched the episode that I did.
That was a different show. But okay, point taken. I always watch the ones that I'm on. Today I was not on. Went for the boat ride.
Oh, right.
But they did have the show.
They got by without you?
I don't know. I have watched the first couple of minutes just to see how they did it. Of course, they would get by. I don't know how it went, but I know it was about 1:50, and it was maybe funny at the end. I haven't watched it yet.
Okay,
but ADP chasing every Tuesday for those of you fantasy sickos. These shows that do fantasy podcasts like this one that I'm with year round, they always make this point. Like I can hear Mike Leone making this point on his Establish the Edge stuff. You know, if you're drafting one team, just do this. But if you're listening to this, you are not drafting one team.
Right.
If you are listening to fantasy football content in May, there's a pretty good chance you're drafting at least 100 teams, maybe closer to 1,000. Right? Because who is doing that?
Right.
I do think it's growing. I mean, fantasy kind of feels a little bit like a young man's game, but it's fun and we're getting older and, you know, I don't feel like I'm too old for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people are moving to podcasts. Anyway, what is all this? 803-0550, back after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. If you would consider yourself surprised to learn that the Bisons have not faced Scranton Wilkes-Barre yet this season, well, you're not alone. I would consider myself surprised to learn that. That seems like a team they play all the time. Scranton-Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sort of seem like a classic Bisons rival?
Yes.
They have not faced them yet this year.
Are they Scranton-Wilkes-Barre are they the Iron?
No.
Okay, that's the other one.
That's the other one.
Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs?
Yes.
Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders.
Correct. It's so many words for a sports team.
And
can't it just be Fluminescence?
I think I want to forgive myself for confusing those two like Pennsylvania-y sounding teams.
Not to mention yesterday's newly discovered Pennsylvania-y team, the Frankfurt Valley Dragons or whatever.
Right.
What were they?
Around Philadelphia. Maroons. Wasn't it the Maroons?
No, there were
There was another Maroons. There were like six Maroons in that league.
There were so many Maroons.
All the Maroons.
Frankfurt Yellow Jackets.
Okay.
Were the team.
Yeah.
They were in the NFL for 10 years. They led the league in yards on offense and yards allowed on defense every year. 10 straight. That's dominance. We had the Buffalo Rangers.
Right.
Come up. A form of the Buffalo Bisons football teams from the 20s. There's also Tonawanda. Remember that?
Of course not. Wait, from yesterday?
Not from yesterday.
Okay, good.
From 1921.
All right.
And that wasn't technically the NFL.
Also no.
Tonawanda Kardex was the name of the team. They played one game and they lost 45-0.
One game.
Yeah.
In their history.
Yes. They lost to Rochester 45-0.
You said that's it. We're not cut out for this. Let's try kickball.
I'm out.
Let's pivot to something else.
Tonawanda Kardex.
Anybody got some horses? Can we try polo? I don't really know what we're doing here.
Yeah, this was a mistake. This was a terrible mistake. November 6th, 1921, Rochester 45, Tonawanda 0. This was a terrible mistake. We're gonna get out of here, guys. We're gonna hit it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We're gonna get out of here.
Sorry, y'all came out for this and paid for the football pants out of your own pocket. But this is not gonna work. We're gonna pivot to something else.
We're leaving. That's funny. Tonawanda Kardex. Anybody knows anything, you're welcome to share. I'll take it more seriously eventually.
Oh, sure. We get somebody in here with a grandpa story that played for the Kardex. I'm going to want to hear every word of that.
Is that going to be the name of like a factory or something from those years? What is K-A-R-D-E-X? What is that?
I don't.
Somebody's name?
I don't know. I do not know what that is. I don't know.
Today I went on the Miss Buffalo 2 with my family this morning, 2-hour boat ride. Very nice. A lot of trivia.
Yeah, about the waterfront.
The woman narrating it just had all, as you would expect. Somebody narrating a tour like that should know a lot about all the different locations. Like, I didn't know that Winston Churchill had been a member of the Buffalo Yacht Club before today.
I did also not know that.
Right?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Great question.
I did know
Did she tell you how that happened?
No.
She just mentioned it? Okay.
Yes. I did know about how Grover Cleveland was the mayor of Buffalo and lived on Grand Island. There's that house at Beaver where he lived. I knew that. Some of the stuff I knew, a lot of it, I just didn't. Black Rock, Lock, and Canal went through there today on this boat.
All right.
Yep. Really cool. Really cool. Recommend.
Good deal. All right.
What I don't recommend is for Elijah Moore to have the season Mike Clay projected him at ESPN.com.
This conversation took a turn.
Yeah.
What?
Well,
what,
yesterday
what happens here?
You had the St. Louis Blues roster up, like day after day on your browser.
I have it open again.
Right.
Just in case.
I have the Mike Clay projections from yesterday.
Yep.
We talked about Cook for this 1,231 and 12.
Right.
For James Cook,
monster
wow,
year.
That's another great season. Now, this doesn't have to be meaningful. Elijah Moore was a late add, and, like, I don't know. 18 catches, though.
Oof.
18 for 203 and one. That's not going to cut it.
No. Is that because Curtis Samuel has 55 catches?
No, he has 21.
Okay. Does anybody have 55 catches?
One player.
Khalil Shakir?
Yes. Actually, Kincaid has 56.
Okay.
Coleman, 54. Coleman's
okay,
the one.
All right.
Coleman's the one. I don't know if you meant it so literally earlier, talking about, yeah, last year they went for Amari Cooper. This year it was Palmer. Coleman is the guy that, if the Bills have a number one receiver, isn't it him? If we end up this year thinking of the Bills as a team with a true number one, wouldn't it almost have to be Coleman? I mean, it'd be a great thing.
We're eliminating the possibility of it being Shakir because of the position he plays. Like, we're talking about an outside number one X receiver.
I guess I don't want to qualify it like that, but it's so hard for me to think of Shakir as a number one. Like, he is their leader in stats. But he's not at all on the level of, like, the guys you think of around the NFL, right, who are number one receivers. So I guess my dream scenario for them is that Coleman pops, and he is their number one, and Shakir is a very good slot receiver.
Yeah, and Shakir fills the stat sheet like he has been, but somebody comes over the top and displaces him as their number one guy, number one target, all of that stuff. Man, I don't know. Does it have to be Coleman? Well, history tells you it's not Palmer. Now, different role, different team. You know, I don't know. Maybe they make that work. Maybe they make that work to prove a point. I don't know. But I feel like history would tell you that none of the guys that have got 3, 4, 5 years in this league are going to do it, because they haven't done it yet. So why is it going to happen just because he's wearing a different helmet, Palmer? So I think I'm inclined to agree. If somebody other than Shakir emerges, I feel like it almost has to be Coleman. I want a little sidecar of maybe Palmer, just because new. But it's probably Coleman, and you're probably in trouble if you need it to happen. Now, last year they didn't need it to happen, and they scored their 30 points.
I don't think they'll need it to happen, and I don't think it will happen. And I don't think it'll be like – I think they'd fall into it. I think if Coleman established himself as this, he would just have taken a huge leap. And he would – I don't want to put digs on him, but he would have given you a season. He'd be like most improved player in the league candidate kind of season.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would fall into it. Maybe they love what they see and they go to him. Maybe somebody gets hurt. I don't know, but I doubt it would at all be the plan. They don't want a number one.
Right.
They got rid of Diggs. They didn't go get a number one. They waited till the second round to pick Coleman. Like, they did not and do not want that offense. So they can have Shakir and, you know, everybody eats and all this, but they do not want it to be, clearly, I think, a room spearheaded by one guy. They think this is better. Some of that is out of necessity, because you can't just take Ja'Marr Chase, as Brandon Bean has said, by the way.
Right.
Remember when he was sort of poking the Bengals?
I'd like to draft high enough to be able to do that, sort of take a shot at them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job letting them beat you at home in a playoff game. Not that he was on the field himself, the GM. Anyway, I like how you how did you phrase that? They'll fall into it.
Yeah.
Because I think almost unequivocally, of course, you want someone to emerge. I think everybody eats is what, you know, it's what you say when you don't, oh, I don't have a number one center, I got four. Shut up.
We don't number our lives.
You cut it out, right? It's a little bit like that. I think if the idea that Coleman, like, if he were to emerge, they'd be like, no, hold him back. We don't want, this isn't what we're about. Everybody eats. Like, that would be insane. If he deserves it, then he should get it. But I don't know I saw the videos today of him working on footwork and hands and whatever. Like, okay, it's off season. You know, everybody's doing this stuff. There's some big receiver camp. I saw Chad Johnson post a picture of it. I think Elijah Moore is there. I saw E. Moore, some Twitter handle E. Moore in there. So I'm guessing that's him, but I couldn't pick him out. The photo was kind of blurry. Anyway, yeah, you know, it's that season. You know, everybody is doing that work. I think there's room to like Coleman without expecting him to become that. You know, I think there's a player in there that can help you, but I just don't know if the skill set is like go-to guy number one receiver. But there's a skill set. I mean, there's a lot of athleticism there. There's great size, jumping, and hands and stuff. I just don't know if it's all going to add up to a guy that emerges like that myself.
Here's Zach with us. Hello.
Mike, I have a little bit more on the Cardex, if you'll oblige here. This is one of my favorite stories to tell people. Okay. I caught the tail end of your discussion, so if I'm repeating anything, I apologize. But so a Rochester newspaper misnamed them, allegedly, as the Lumberjacks, which ended up becoming the high school team name of my alma mater in North Tonawanda many years later. I believe their quarterback was also the head coach. This guy, Tam Rose, was his name as well. And the main reason they folded was because the fee for to get into the league, whether it's the NFL or whatever it was at the time, jumped from $50 to $1,000 at the time, and they simply couldn't afford it. And then I guess nobody else really wanted to play him as well. So, I mean, I love the Cardex story. If there was a Cardex T-shirt, I would happily buy it.
Oh, yeah.
Proudly, so.
I think these days we could just make them.
I think so, yeah.
There's no logo, and you don't – Zach left. I was going to say, does he know how they got their name?
Right, that name, yeah.
They were miscalled the Lumberjacks.
Right.
In Rochester. Well, Rochester was having fun at their expense. They beat them 45-0. They felt like they could say anything.
Call them anything you want.
Yeah, they score like that.
Yeah.
They got on the board in the first quarter, Bulldog, on an unknown yard pass from Benny Boynton to Jerry Noonan.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Known yard passes.
Everything here in the box is unknown.
Unknown yard pass.
We still have been unable to verify how long the pass was.
How is is it say actually unknown?
It does.
Okay. I was wondering if there was like a symbol for that. I've never known.
Question marks.
Right. Question marks. Yards pass.
Yeah.
That would work.
This Benny Boynton looked like a force. He was the kicker and the quarterback. Were they called quarterbacks? In 1921?
Good question.
So we're back here in 1921, and we don't know what the yards were or who the positions are, or what the team name is, or why they're even here. Otherwise, post-game coming up.
Right.
Sal coming up at 5. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. Good timing. Sal Capaccio coming up in about 12 minutes. Be our last chance to talk to Sal pretty much until camp in 2 weeks. Tomorrow, John Harris, who Sal knows, by the way, Houston Texans reporter. Matt Waldman on Thursday. Warren Sharp Monday.
Friday, who cares? You're off.
Friday, I'm not even worried about. Friday, I drive to Maryland.
Friday, you drive to Maryland. Saturday morning, I'm headed for the Adirondacks for a few days.
All right. I might pass you.
Not the whole week, but we got some friends that have a place out there in Old Forge, and we're going for a weekend, I think.
My daughter today, who is 13, asked me to ask you and the show a question.
Okay.
And I am more than happy to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm hoping to establish something with this, personally and professionally.
Okay.
Questions from my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to know if you would ever close your eyes at the dentist.
Sure.
Why?
I don't want to see how pointy the hook thingy
really
is when you're coming near my mouth. Yeah.
She's going to be so excited that you're saying yes.
Yeah.
Because I said, what? Like,
yeah.
Why would you ever close your eyes to the dentist? And she said, well, what do you look at? I said, well, at my dentist, there's a TV. And I watch the Food Network. My hygienist knows that whenever I'm in, she's got the Food Network ready. Which is kind of a little bit ironic, right? We've got cake baking contests and I'm getting there, you know, getting my teeth cleaned.
Yeah.
But still, that's what I like. And that's where my eyes go when I'm at the dentist.
It's nice that they have a TV in there for you.
Yeah. Is that pretty is that par for the course?
I don't know. Do you want to hear something?
I know what you're going to say, and I'm not forcing you to say it. I know what you're going
to
say.
I haven't been to the dentist the whole time we've known one another.
I thought you might say that.
Probably longer.
I thought you might say that. You've not been to the dentist in forever.
No.
So basically, I have to tell my daughter, actually, he doesn't go. She's going to love that.
Yeah, don't see. This is a little tricky.
She's going to love that.
But
wait a minute. I don't have to go?
I think if I close my eyes at the doctor getting a shot, like anything like that, I don't need to be watching all this. The needle, like everything. Like, it's fine. It doesn't hurt, but the thought of it,
I look away sometimes. I don't close my eyes, but yeah. I'll look away.
I think I would, it's a guess because it's been probably 30 years since I've been to the dentist.
Wow. You don't have a dentist?
No. No.
Wow.
No. Had one when I went, Santoris, Main and Union, Dr. Gilden, Dr. G and his wife, and maybe their assistant or assistants, hygienists and whatever, would come for lunch few times a week, and through that I felt I'm going to the dentist. I'm going to see Dr. G, get my teeth clean. That I did that pretty regularly back in those days, but
interesting.
No, since I've been here, no.
So the official answer is you would.
I would, I think.
Maybe close your eyes.
I'm open to closing my eyes if I ever went to the dentist.
Wow.
It's not a thing. Right. And my teeth are fantastic. Going strong.
So you think.
60 years.
I will pass that along. Sal next here on WGR.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.